are some of the most anti-theistic people.
Anti-God,
you know, Ravi Zacharias, a very popular Christian philosopher, speaker, really doesn't call it atheism. He calls it anti-theism. In other words, they're not just without God.
Right,
they
right.
are against God.
They're active
they're against.
They're against
the concept of God and all that it includes. And as a result of that, look at the founders. You have Auguste Comte in sociology. It was 1798 to 1815. He was the founder there. And modern psychology goes to Freud and J.B. Watson. They lived
Freud, that's
1856 to 39 and 1858 to 35. They were both born in the 1850s, and they lived into the 1930s. And they claimed to be atheists, basically.
Right.
And you have Carl Jung, who was maybe more pantheistic, but he's still anti-theism in the sense of Christian theism.
Pantheism, which is sort of a belief that God, if there is a human natural, a supernatural force, is like a force out there, kind of.
Well,
in
yeah,
nature,
God
like,
is a or God is everything. God is in the tree. God is in all God. All is God. You are God. It's almost Eastern in a sense because you have Eastern monism, which is like the Atman is Brahman. You know, in other words, you are a soul, but you are part of the greater soul,
greater
the cosmic
soul. God. Okay.
And we know people that, you know, they see God in the tree. You know, he's partly there. They're in the stone, too, the inanimate. But religion was, and from the socialistic and the social science perspectives, religion is just an expression of primitive human desire.
Primitive.
Primitive
is that.
It comes out of the Enlightenment era of Rousseau, Voltaire, the French philosophies of the early of the early 17th and 18th centuries. You know, 16th and 17th centuries. You have all these people that are trying to be enlightened as they elevate reason.
Reason is the key, isn't it?
To
rise above such primitive views as religion.
Yeah, and that's where they started from. And so what they decide to do is there's nothing really divine out there. It's just your need to feel secure or comforted. So you come up with
create a God
in your mind who is a warm grandfatherly figure.
Take care of you.
Pat you on the back when you're kind of sore and hurting. And
give you a future.
Yeah.
So forth.
And that was their basic approach to how they got into it. And often when you study the histories of them, many of them had actually very negative experiences with church or religious people. I don't know all the details in every one, but they all tended to be have struggled up and been raised in Christian cultures and homes often, and yet because of the difficulties they had there, dump out the baby in the bathwater, so to speak, the belief of God or a Christian theistic beginning in life and abandon it.
Which is too bad because so many great people also had some negative experiences in life early, and I think about Martin Luther certainly had a few negative experiences, and yet look what a great believer he became. So you don't necessarily have to go south, shall we say, if you have a bad experience.
People say, well, how do you know that's true? How do you know these people were so anti-theistic as you claim?
Okay.
And you find Auguste Comte basically calls Christianity or theism a leftover memory of a primitive age. Whereas Freud would say is a longing for a transcendent father figure. kind of sounding real scholarly and real warm and fuzzy. And Watson, Freud's another psychologist, Watson, J.B. Watson, said it's an illusion of an earlier age. We're beyond that. We're beyond you mere peons who believe and need God as a crutch.
You know, when you look at some of the things that archaeologists dig up, when they dig up ancient societies, they'll find some object that they literally have no clues to what it is. Invariably, they'll say this has some kind of religious purpose because they really don't understand, you know. The point is that ancient people had the goofiest kinds of religion, and they kind of tie it all together. You know, ancient people, primitive views of reality, it's all religion. But now we're developing here in this modern era away from the need to have that crutch.
Sociology has gone actually some of the farthest against Christianity, where psychology deals more on an individual level. Sociology looks at how Christians are going to, how they relate in society, and they really look at it through the idea of language. you know, where biology and chemistry and stuff is dealing with physical matter and naturalistic matter.
Uh-huh.
Sociologists and psychologists deal with language as an expression of culture and language as sort of as power.
Mm-hmm.
Reality is all about how we describe it in our language as we seek to gain power over other people. It's their approach to it as language is power, and their main thing isn't necessarily naturalism, but it is literary theory. And that's where their authority comes from. And they see all languages sort of to a degree being as oppressive. If you're a Christian, you are using language and words to try to gain power over people, which they always would see as negative.
Yeah,
so and that's sort of how they approach it.
Problem under every rock, you know. Okay,
that's basically it. And theologically, they had to do away, you know, on the ethics level. Once you've eliminated a God.
With the
you
morals.
Have no foundation for morality mm-hmm. other than the societal whims. So it's morality falls under the whims of society, and who has the power of that society? Who controls the language and the, you know, whoever controls the rules and the language control the games. Whoever can define it, you know, when you define the language and what words mean, you define the rules of the game, and thus you control the society.
Mm-hmm.
And thus, what they've done is they've eliminated concepts like sin. You know, they talk about sin as, you know, we're John Calvin, the reformer, would say, talking about our humanity, saying we are blinder than moles. In other words, we are so depraved, we are so far apart from God as creatures, we are just blind to our own, just how bad we really are.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, no, that's not sin, that's just inherited tendencies, or that's an addiction, it's a psychological quirk or problem because of a trauma you suffered in utero or whatever.
Oh boy. Well, when you look at it, then you'll probably not find a greater difference in beliefs about the nature of man than what Christians believe versus what these sociologists believe. Because the Christian view of man, based on the Bible and history, is that man was created a very high and very perfect person and then fell and has kind of been broken ever since. And it's God's will and purpose to kind of restore what was lost. Meanwhile, the sociologists would say that man started bad, started as a monkey, basically, and has been developing over the years,
getting better.
Intellect, getting better and better. Eventually, we'll get out of this religious stuff, and we'll get into, you know, into a higher plane.
Yeah, they like to do away with sin, and they like to elevate human reason, and we're growing, and we're getting better. Therefore, you're not a primitive idiot. And it's really sad, because that really is where the battle is over our human nature, where Christians say we were good and now we're fallen, and we need Christ to get us back to that goodness. They'd say, hey, we started out as dumb apes. See how smart we're getting,
and we're getting
smarter. As we become more freed intellectually or uninhibited socially and sexually, we are expressing elements of freedom and maturity that the others didn't have.
Yeah, we get rid of this crutch of Christianity and religion and God.
Yeah, so they like to get rid of God. Actually, I have a torpedo text.
Okay,
man.
What is it?
And last time we talked about the way that seems right to a man, but really, no, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They deny God's existence. They deny God's the ethics of Christianity and religion, and they deny the life that it was intended to give. And they like to say it's a life based on human reason, humans can somehow create their own reality with the words they use and the lives they live. And I really think that's the sadness of it all, is it ignores the one who has come as our life giver. And who shows us the true way and the true life.
And Jesus came and he delighted to use the title Son of Man when he worked among us. And the Son of Man, using Hebrew language like that, is really saying the epitome or the substance or the essence of man. Jesus came as a human and said, this is God's ideal for what man can still yet become, a loving, giving, warm, unselfish person. This is what God had hoped for mankind to become at some point. He became the example for us and the way, the truth, the life, as you talked about.
Yeah, but the sad reality is that because they've rejected that foundation, humans have tended to prove the idea of social Darwinism, those who have rejected it, the ones who have become the least humane, the least kind, the least developed toward their brother or sister, are the ones who had followed the very pattern that these kind of gentlemen paved the way for. And that's why we always categorize them as the most anti-Christian. Even more so than the biologists. The biologists say, well, you can't prove him, he doesn't exist. But these people say he doesn't exist, and we're against the idea of his existence.
Right, or even talking about it, yeah.
Yeah. And so we hope that you will discover Jesus is the way for your life.
Amen.
And live live a life in that light, because it's the only life worth living.
Amen.
Tune in again to another
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.